Let's get into the Word of God today, everybody, okay? Galatians chapter 2 is where we're going to be today in this series. I want to read two verses to you. We're going to circle back around to some other ones, but these may be familiar if you grew up around church or been in church at all, but these are the ones we're going to park on today. Galatians 2, 20 and 21 says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. In the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And he says this, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Now, I'm going to explain all this, but I want to read verse 20 one more time. It says, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the body, so in this flesh, in this like breathing flesh suit, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. If you're the note-taking type, write this title down. It's all new. It's all new. Let's pray together. Father, we open our hearts and minds today. We ask you to speak to us. Holy Spirit, may we never be the same because of it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said a big amen. Come on, one more time. A big amen, every campus. It's a little bit better. So the other day, Jonas is really into Transformers. And the other day he bought because he had $20 and he was begging for something. We were like, you can spend your own money. So he has this little soccer looking pouch and he has a little bit more money in there than I thought he did. It's a little saver. It's like, good for you, buddy. But he had this thing. So we did the Target pickup because we just don't go in stores anymore, just to be real honest. Why would you when you can have it pick it up or put it on your front porch, right? And so we went and got this Transformer, and it came with, I forget which Transformer it is, but it's the red one, the popular one. And it came with this little like truck thing, and it transformed a little bit too. And so he did what any kid does whenever they get a new toy, is he started exploring all the things the toy would do, right? And we do this as adults. We get a new toy. Maybe it's a car. Maybe it's a, you know, our toys change a little bit. Maybe it's a motorcycle, guys. Maybe it's a boat. What do we start doing? We start exploring all the things that it'll do. We start tinkering with all the things that it'll do. Maybe if you're like in it enough, you pull out the manual and you're reading. What are all the things? You get a new phone. What are all the features, right? We want to know all the features, all the things that are a part of it. And so Jonas starts doing this and he's like transforming it. And he's like, look, Dad, his legs spin around. And then he's transforming the truck, the carrier truck that comes with it. And then he had done that. And then I noticed there was one little piece that would pull down. And he goes, where'd you find that? It was like, there's one piece of this I haven't discovered. And so now he's pulling that piece down. Why? Because whenever you get something new, if you don't, you should want to explore what are all the things that come with it. What are all the things that are a part of this? And so last week we began this journey talking about grace. And I want to talk to you about today is exploring what all does grace bring? Yeah, and I would propose to you that it brings a whole lot of new, that it's all new. So I want to recap just a little bit for those of you that maybe weren't able to be here, is this, and how we study through a book of the Bible is this, is first we want to know who wrote the book. And so the very first verse, Galatians 1:1, lets us know it's the Apostle Paul. We want to know who this book was written to, and it's written to the churches in Galatia. That's around Asia Minor. It's not really a city. It's kind of a region that would fluctuate over centuries of exactly the boundaries of that. So that's who he wrote it to. And these are churches that he's planted. So he had this church planting strategy where he would go and plant a church, raise up some leaders, and then he would move on. And then he would write letters back to them. Galatians is one of those letters. Ephesians would be another letter to a church at Ephesus. Corinthians, 1st and 2nd, are letters to the church in Corinth. Are y'all tracking with me? Say amen. Okay, so you get the picture. And these are called pastoral epistles or pastoral letters that Paul wrote. And so Galatians is one of those. It's a pretty hard-hitting letter because he's really challenging, I would even say rebuking strongly the church in Galatia because they have turned away from grace. They have added something to the gospel. We talked about last week that it's Jesus plus nothing. that it's Jesus. That is the only thing that gives you right standing with God is your relationship with Jesus. It is the grace of God poured out into your life. It's not of works so that you or I could get the credit. It is grace alone. Religion tells you that it is grace plus do these five things. It is, people may put on you, yes, Jesus, but you also need to do this. You need to quit doing that and you need to start. And there are some things that should change in our life, but our right standing with the Father comes by grace alone. Somebody shout grace. Grace. It's grace. It's all grace. And so this week, we see the rest of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2, Paul defends his apostleship. In other words, he's letting people know, this message didn't come from me. I wasn't sent by men. I was sent by God. It's a message from God. And so he goes through all these different things to kind of give the backstory of how he went from persecuting the church to the Damascus Road experience to now he is preaching the gospel to the very person and people that he wanted to kill. And so then we're going to jump into verse 14 and give you the context, because that's another thing I want you to know is context. Everybody shout context. Context means this: what is said before it and what's said after it. You can't just cherry pick scriptures and make them say what you want. You know, you can't, and I get it, but everybody wants to take Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And it's like, yeah, but that doesn't mean that you can, you know, bench 350, and that's what that verse is applying to. Are y'all with me? Like in the gym, I can do all things through Christ. Okay. I get it, maybe encouraging, but it's not what the verse means. You got to read it in context, all right? And so I want to give you the little context of what we just read in verses 20 and 21. And I want to back up a little bit, and then I'm going to give you three thoughts of what are the new things that grace brings into our life. If you're with me, say amen. All right, so we're going to start in verse 14. And I wanted to read this to you because I want you to see that even in the New Testament church, with I think we kind of idolize sometimes and we think, man, they never had problems and it was just you know, miracles all the time and salvation all the time. There were these relational challenges, and there were apostles that didn't get along with each other, and they're, you know, humanity has always had pride. And are y'all tracking with me? And to go, these are real people that are trying to preach the gospel of Jesus and advance the kingdom, and they're doing it in human flesh, which brings mess with it. I just want to say this: if you're looking for the perfect church, you'll never find it, because it's full of humans. And the New Testament church wasn't perfect; it was full of humans. So I want to show you this conflict, and you know, I'm thinking Paul was at least an 8 on the Enneagram, because he just wants to like confront you to your face. All right, are y'all with me? Say amen. Okay, here we go. If you're into the witchcraft of Enneagram. All right, kidding. Joking. All right, verse 14, it's back to verse 11. Paul's talking about when Peter came to Antioch. He says, I opposed him face to face because he was wrong about some things. And then we get down to 14, and this is why Paul is bothered with the apostle Peter, the Peter that preached on the day of Pentecost, the Peter that First and Second Peter, you know, that guy, Paul has a problem with him. And he says this, he's talking about Peter. He said, when I saw that you were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of all them, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? Here's what Paul is saying, and the text is letting us know, is that Paul thought that Peter was adding to the grace of God. And so in front of everybody, he confronts him. How would you like that Sunday? How you'd be like, hey, just welcome to church, everybody. Peter, stand up. Right? Like he just calls him out, and he's calling him out because he's like, hey, you're a Jew, but then you're on the Gentiles, you're expecting them to do some Jewish things. And that's not right, because now you're ascribing something besides Jesus to the gospel. And then he goes on to say this. He says, we who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law. In other words, Jesus plus nothing, not Jesus plus the law. So we too have put our faith in Christ, that we may be justified, or we may be made right by faith in Christ, not by observing the law, because of observing the law no one will be justified. In other words, you can't be made right with God because you Sabbath enough, read your Bible enough, go to the temple enough. This is what he's getting back to what he's saying in chapter one. And then he says, if while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? No. He says, so if we're living this life going, it's all grace, but we find sin in our life, does that mean that grace is now saying that sin is okay? And Paul says, absolutely not. He said, no, that's not what it's saying at all. He's saying, if I rebuild what I destroy, I prove that I'm a lawbreaker. Though through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. I'm gonna explain all this. Please don't check out on me. Through the law, I died to the law that I might live to God. Then we get to verse 20 where he says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So let me break this down. Are y'all tracking still? Come on, every campus, you're tracking still. Okay, here's what Paul is saying. We're going deep today, okay? This is like theology 101 for you. What Paul is saying, first, he's like confronting Peter. And he's saying, Peter, matter of fact, if you back up a little bit, he says, Peter, some friends have told me through the grapevine, I saw it on Instagram. Come on, that was funny, I don't care. So he says, when Gentiles are around and you're eating with them, you act like them. But when the Jews are around, you start like acting like them. In other words, Peter, you're afraid to live out this grace message in front of the culture around you. You're scared, Peter. And that's why he's rebuking him. And I don't hate on Peter, because the thing that we find out they're referring to in chapter two, that Jews are trying to enforce on these new Gentile Christians, is circumcision. Talk about the way to shrink a men's small group. Hey guys, welcome to small group. Now that you've accepted Christ, there's one more step. Let's go to the doctor's office and get some things cut off. I maybe would be like, yeah, I'm out. Like, I don't think I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm sticking. Like, I'm going back to my Gentile ways. Come on, can I get a better amen in the house of God? Like, that's what they're trying to impose on them. And so Peter's like, and Paul's like, no, this is the gospel, and let's be bold about the gospel. And then he gets down and he's like, but if living this grace message, you find sin in my life, does that mean that grace gives me a license to sin? And that's what some of you were worried about last week whenever I was preaching, it's grace, and you, in your mind, your religion was coming up going, but you need to let them know they can't sin because of grace. No, Paul's saying, if there's sin in my life, does that mean grace is okay with that? And he says, absolutely not. And then he tells us, see, I have died to that old life. And I've now, this life I live in the body or I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave himself up for me. And so here's what you need to know that grace does for you. It makes you die to the old you, but come alive to a new thing. And I wanna talk to you about the new. If you're with me, shout amen. Let me give you three thoughts real quick about the new. Number one, grace gives you a new position. Grace gives you a new position. The Bible teaches us that we are justified or made right. That word justified, let me break it down for you, is this word, it means this. One way that someone taught me to think about it is this. Justified means it is just as if I never sinned. It's just an easy way to think about it. What's justified? What does that mean? It means just as if I never sinned. So I am justified by faith through grace. So it's the grace gift. So what does grace bring into me? It brings me a new position. So now my standing with God, prior to accepting Christ and prior to surrendering my life to Jesus, my standing with God was, I was at enmity with God, is what the Bible says. Why? Because God is so holy, he can't look at sin. I was so full of sin, so God couldn't have anything to do with me. This is why Jesus came, to be the mediator between God and man, so that now I could be brought to God through the the blood of Jesus. And as I come through the blood of Jesus, my sins are washed away. So now I stand before God right now, even though there is, and this isn't a mind trick. This isn't mental gymnastics. This is my position before God. When God looks at me, he sees me through Jesus. So my standing before him is perfect and righteous. Not because of anything I've done. This is why grace is so important. I don't stand before God righteous today because Daniel is great. I stand before God righteous because the righteousness of Christ has been applied to my account, and that's how God sees me. This is why I preach things like, no, the way God looks at you is the way you should see yourself, not the way the enemy tells you in your mind. Why? Because how God sees you is holy, and how God sees you is justified, and how God sees you is forgiven, and how God sees you is right standing with him. And that's how you should see yourself. But you're like, Pastor, but I live every day. I know. Paul gets to that. He says, this life I now live in the flesh. Seems like an oxymoron. I died in Christ, but I live in this body. No, what he's saying is that old me that was separated from God, that old me that had no power to live for God, that old me that was out from under the grace of God, that old me that did not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that empowers me to live the Christian life, that old me is dead. This is why whenever we do baptism, it is a picture. This is why we immerse. One is because the word literally means immerse. I don't know how you get any other definition out of it. But also, it is a picture of I am dying, I'm being buried with Christ, and I am being raised to a new life. It is a metaphor, a picture for everyone around you that watches to know I've made the decision to be crucified with Christ, to die to the old life, to be raised to a brand new life. And now I am in a new position with God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 said this. It says, God made him who had no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin for us. So he carried all of our sin on the cross so that we might become the righteousness of God. So right now, whether you feel righteous or not, you've been given the righteousness of Christ has been applied to your account. And how God sees you, isn't that good news today, church? How God sees you is through the lens of Jesus and through the righteousness of his son. You don't get to heaven because you did something good. You get to heaven because the righteousness of Jesus has been applied to you, giving you a new position before the Father. All right, you got that? Say amen, everybody, if you dare. All right, number two is you've been given a new identity. You've been given a new identity. You are not who you used to be. You are who God says that you are. Matter of fact, we don't even get to choose our identity. Once we have surrendered our life to Jesus, our identity has been predetermined by the Father. And our identity is that now I am a child of God. I've been crucified with Christ. So I no longer live, which means Daniel's desires are being crucified. And this isn't a one-time moment. This is an ongoing thing in your life. But I've been crucified with Christ, meaning my desires now, I put them on the cross. My wants, I put them on the cross. And what am I doing? I'm saying I'm a dead man, and now I'm surrendered to God and I'm living by faith. So I have a brand new identity. I'm a child of God. The moment that you accepted Christ, whether you feel like it or not, and whether it is being worked out in your life completely yet or not, you, my friend, are a child of the living God. God gave you the right to become his child. John 1:12 says this. It says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Became them right. I didn't write it. I just deliver it. So don't get mad at me. I don't write it. I didn't write the Bible. I just deliver it to you. All right. But when people say we're all children of God, it's not true. The Bible's very clear. Those who believe and call on his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Not everybody walking around is a child of God. Everyone walking around is made in the image of God and bears the image of God, but not everyone is a child of God. You don't enter the family of God until you call and believe on his name. Then he gives you the right to become a child of God. What do you get? You get a new identity. And begin, and your journey of faith is living out this new identity. It's why you need to be in a small group. Why? It's why you need to be in Bible reading every day. Why? Why do we do this? Why? Because we want you to understand your new identity. So you can begin to live that out. Oh, my new identity, I'm a child of God. Oh, that means I'm patient. It means I'm kind. It means I'm long-suffering. What are children in the family of God? It's like in the Floyd family. We want our kids to be respectful. We want them to be generous. We want them to be honoring towards people. There's just some things we value. So now as a child of God, I am dying to this old life and I have this old identity and this old way of living. And I'm in this journey of learning what it means to live out my new identity. And here's what the enemy wants to tell you, because you will have moments where sin arises, where you stumble, where you mess up, where you don't. And what happens in that, the enemy will you get in your head and be like, God can't love you. God, no. I have right standing with God. I have a new position with God. I have a new identity. And my new identity is that I'm a child of God and the blood of Jesus covers me. So on my worst day, I am a child of God. And on my best day, I'm a child of God. Why? Because I didn't do this. Grace did it. Come on, somebody, are you getting this? Grace gave me a right position. Grace gave me a new identity. Daniel didn't earn this, so Daniel can't forfeit it. Grace gave it to me. And so I have a new identity in Christ. And this new identity comes with some rights and some privileges. And this is why being in church is so important. You begin to explore, what does it mean to be a child of God? And it's not mental gymnastics. It's going, no. Whenever I blow it, it's going, that's not who I am. It's what I did in this moment, and I'm gonna repent and turn back to God, but it is not who I am. Who I am is rooted in my identity in Jesus Christ. So whatever sins are in my life, whatever it may be, whatever the sin is, Paul said that so easily besets us, and all of us have one. All of us have a sin. It could be in the area of addiction, could be in the area of sexuality, could be in the area of anger, could be in the area of our attitude, could be in the area of our temper. Everybody has some area that is a besetting sin, and that is the one the enemy targets. And when we fall to temptation, then he wants to shame us from running to the Father, so we pull further away from the Father, forgetting I'm his kid. My identity is rooted that I'm a child of the Most High God. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. So lastly, number three, he gives us a new process. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. So in my being crucified with Christ, I died to my old self, I've been given a new position in God. He says, but I still live in this body. How many of you know you're still living in this body? How many of you know that people still gonna make you mad? People are still gonna cause something to, relationships are still gonna have tension. Come on, somebody. How many of you know that you're gonna see someone, they're gonna want you to do that old life you, that old identity you, that dead you is gonna wanna try to get out of the grave every so often. Can I get a better amen in the house of God? And so Paul says, this life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave himself up for me. And so I'm in a new process now. And my new process is a process of faith. And as I take steps of faith, I begin to grow in this journey of growing into the identity that Christ has already given me. The word for this is sanctification. Sanctification is simply the process where I am being conformed into the image of God. And the way that I do that is I walk every day by faith in what God has said about me and how God has called me to live as a child of God. Give you an example of this. So this would be walking by faith, and this would be growing in the process of faith and in this sanctification process. So let's say you have a situation and conflict with someone, and the old you would go, I'll give them a piece of my mind. I'm gonna let them have it. I'm gonna I'm going to blast. You would have all kinds of things that you would want to say. But the Holy Spirit catches you and you go, oh, I've crucified that me. This is growing in faith. And now I live by faith in the Son of God. And so the Bible, that's what Paul said. I live by faith. So I'm in a new process now. I'm in a faith process. And so what does faith look like in that moment? Well, faith trusts that what the Word of God says about loving those who hurt you is the best route to go. So I go with that instead of what the old me would want to do. And guess what? I build a little bit of muscle of faith. And I move forward in the journey of faith. Let's say the old me was greedy. The old me was stingy. But now I've died to that. And now I'm living by faith. And I come across a scripture that says I'm supposed to be a generous person. Well, growing and maturing in faith is whenever I go, God, I trust your word over what I feel. And so I'm gonna begin living a generous life. Are y'all tracking with me? This is, I'm walking by faith. A lot of us think faith are the big moments, believing for the healing and trusting God for the breakthrough. Yeah, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. But how do you treat people on Monday? How do you respond whenever people offend you? That's maturing and growing in the process of faith. And some days you're winning and some days you're learning. And some days you're killing it, and some days it's not the best you. But regardless of how far you are on the journey and how well you're progressing on the journey, it never negates the fact that you have a new position in Christ and you have a new identity in Christ and you have a new process that you're walking through. And so grace has given you a lot of new things. Not only has it given you the forgiveness of sin through the person of Jesus, but it's also now empowered you to live this Christian life and mature. And my prayer for you as a believer is that you mature in your faith, that you grow in your faith, that the old you every day is more and more crucified, and the new you is growing stronger and stronger and stronger in your walk with God. Come on, do you receive the word today?
Yeah,
good. Hey, let's pray together. Every campus, every head bowed, if you can online. And some of you today, the step that you need to take is you've never received the grace of God into your life personally. You've never you never stepped forward and said, God, I'm in need of grace. Maybe some of you would even claim the label of a Christian in your Christian journey has been one of frustration and it's been one of angst because you've been trying to do everything that you can possibly do to work your way to God and your eyes are being opened to it's already been done for you in the person of Jesus. All you have to do is receive it by faith. And so today I want to give you that opportunity to do that. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I need a fresh start. I need a brand new beginning in God. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. I want to know that I'm beginning this journey in grace and I want a new position. I want a new identity. I want a new process. Then today's your day. This is your moment at every campus. The Bible says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that means he's in control. That means I'm dying to me. I'm submitting to him. And you'll believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, then you will be saved. And you may be saying, saved from what? Saved from the penalty of our sin. The Bible says that we've all done it. We've all sinned. And that the wages of sin is death. It's eternal separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life. And it's found only in Jesus. And so I want to offer you that free gift today. All you have to do is receive it by faith, going, Jesus, I trust you. I trust what you did on the cross to forgive me and to give me a brand new start today. And so if that's you, I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. And before we do, I'm going to ask you just to slip your hand up. I'm going to count to three. And I believe this is just your expression of faith saying, God, it's me. I need that today. This is my day to begin again, to have a brand new beginning. Maybe you would take the label of a Christian, but you know in your heart, you're far from God. You know, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Then this is your day today as well. And so on three at every campus, you shoot your hand up where I can see or your campus pastor can see. And no one's going to come to you or point you out, I promise you, but we just want to know who we're praying with. So on three, you shoot your hand up. This is your moment on three. One, two, three. You just shoot it up high enough, long enough, just leave it up. God bless you. You can put it down. Church, let's pray together out loud for the benefit of those who just slipped up their hand. Just say, Jesus, I need you. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. I believe you died for me. I believe God raised you from the dead. Today, I make you my Lord and Savior. Thank you for a brand new beginning. In Jesus' name, everybody said a big amen. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate, church, those who made that decision.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Feel free to rate, review, and share with a friend. If you'd like to find out how you can get involved or partner with us financially, visit lifepoint.org or download the LifePoint app. Thank you for your generosity. We can do so much more together than we ever could apart. See you soon.